this morning, it is such an honor to be able to invite a guest into our house today. We have some of the most amazing, gifted leaders around our country and around the world who are part of our Fourscore family. And Natalie Working is one of these gems. I mean, a gem with rocket fuel. Can I say that? She is so fired up for the Lord and for people. And I am so excited for you to meet her. Natalie has two jobs within Fourscore, and she kind of dabbles in a third and fourth too, but we won't get into that. But she is just this creative, fantastic leader. And though you guys do know, we have these booklets that are available that for everyone in our church family, and particularly those who are coming to know the Lord. It's called the Yes Booklet, and it's just like, what does it mean to say yes to God, right? What is this saying yes to Jesus? Well, if you flip it over on the back, you'll see that it is printed by FMP. What is FMP? That stands for Fourscore Missions Press. And Fourscore Missions has a large printing ministry and literally millions of pieces of evangelistic and discipleship materials, including these Yes booklets, go out around the world every year. It's incredible the work that they do in helping the gospel just to go around the world. And so one of Natalie's jobs is that she works for Fourscore Missions Press, particularly with children's outreach around the world. So Natalie, I know you're going to show some photos. I don't want to steal all your story, but she just got back from 3 weeks in Africa where leaders from multiple nations came in to be trained by Natalie in how to work with kids in particular. The other job that she has is similar to a job I used to have here in Southern California, in that Natalie is the district NextGen representative back on the East Coast, serving over 100 churches with camping ministry, leadership development, and everything related to serving churches, leaders, and children and students. And she is just a gift. I've gotten to know her really well on a committee that we serve on nationally. And I'm just so blessed you had the opportunity to come and be with our church family. Would you please welcome Natalie Working?
Thank you. You are too kind. Love you. Wow, that was a great intro. I hope I can live up to that. That was oh, goodness. Yeah, so I'm from Indiana. People say East Coast. I'm actually from the Midwest, but I find in California, like, once everything's east. You're like, east is, you know, Vegas. And I'm like, no, it's a little further east. Indiana's, you know, that state over there by Ohio and Illinois, if you don't know, where we get a lot of snow. And the only time you actually want to live there is like September and October. So I'm here with you guys enjoying your beautiful weather and get to go back for just a few weeks of our beautiful weather. So yeah, I'm a pastor from Indiana, and I brought a picture just of my family. I've been married for 13 years. My husband actually overlapped with Tim and Kelly when they were on the East Coast at our Bible college out there. And that's my 5-year-old little girl. But you can go to the next slide. We're also foster parents, so our family looks different at different times of the year. We can't show faces of foster kids for privacy reasons. So that's my little 5-year-old, my husband, and then some kiddos we had over the 4th of July, and we got to do a little boat cruise in Chicago. First time they had ever been on a boat, first time they'd ever been to a big city like Chicago. And so we got to take our girls there. So our family dynamic changes, and it's fun, it's crazy. Does anybody else in here foster ever? You have any foster parents? Yeah. I'll pray for you, right? Stick together. It is tough. So I have some family out here. I love being in California. I have family in Grover Beach and SLO and Orange County. I actually started out as a nurse. I went to school. I have a nursing degree, and thought I was going to be this great nurse practitioner, and then the Lord kind of reworked my path. Has he done that in anyone else's life? Right? You had your whole life planned out, and he said, wait a minute, I have another plan. That's what happened to me. So now I've been doing this full-time with NextGen and missions. My life has always been missions and NextGen for 12 years, And I just started working with Foursquare Missions Press about a year ago, and I brought some pictures. I was just in Africa in 3 weeks ago, so I spent most of August. So I had 7 weeks of camp and then did 3 weeks in Africa. And so you can see these are like, these are not just like I pulled these off the internet. I took these myself. These are my friends. These are leaders from Rwanda. I just love the country of Rwanda, a fabulous history and story of what God's doing there. They're learning the Evangecube. Have you all ever seen the Evangecube? It's like a box that opens up and tells the story of the gospel. And so we teach kids and youth leaders, and their youth ministry goes all the way to 30. So we're talking like birth to 30. I'm teaching them how to reach, and so we're teaching them how to use the tools that Missions Press offers. You can go to the next slide. I think there's one more. This is actually a church in Kenya. Those are all kids. So we prepared for about 75 and instead had like 204 show up. Praise Jesus. And you can see on the wall, if you sort of, that we're showing the Jesus film for kids. That's part of what we do. So we spend 2 to 3 days training people to do kids ministry, to use drama, and sort of all the things we take for granted, and things like Safari Kids. People around the world don't know some of those methods or have the resources, and so we get to come in and just encourage our Foursquare family, and they reach kids, and then we coach them through this rally. So I kind of stand back and let the leaders lead and get to watch kid after kid and youth after youth come to know Jesus. And then we leave them with this 6-week discipleship track that Foursquare Missions Press does for kids and youth. So it's a really, really fun ministry that I get to be involved in. And I'm like, all the time, like, is this a real job that I get to do? I mean, it's crazy, just crazy. I love it. So I don't know about you, but I'm a visual person. That's why I bring pictures, right? I can tell you about my husband. I can tell you about my cute little girl, but it's better to just show a picture. And so I'm kind of the person that like needs to see it. Anybody else like that? Like when someone is trying to explain something to me, I'm like, could you just write it down? You know, I can't even like hear it. We were in meetings this week and they were reading things out loud. And I said, could someone just send me the document so I could see it myself? So a lot of times I ask the Lord for a picture and just say, Lord, I need an image of what you're trying to tell me and what I'm trying to communicate. And this morning I want to share a picture with you that the Lord gave me. And it was actually from the Jesus film for children. Because I was kind of studying it just so I would know kind of the flow and at what point we could pause for bathroom breaks, right? This is kids' ministry and kind of studying it. And it's a little old school, but throw that picture up there. Does anyone know what this is? Has anyone seen the film? This is the part of the Gospels that's the miraculous catch. And so I had this Holy Spirit moment with this particular image. And so I'm like reading the story and everywhere that it is in scripture, it's in there a couple different times, trying to soak in what the Lord was trying to say through this image to me. And so it's really, really interesting, the narrative that goes with this picture and the story in scripture of what was going on has really changed me personally and really challenged me to ask the Lord some important questions. And so my prayer is that it will do the same for you this morning. So keep this image in mind, or we can keep it up on the screen. And if you have a Bible with you, turn to John 21. Listen, if you don't, and maybe it's your first time here, and you're like, who is this girl? Don't worry. Come back next week. I'm sure it'll be 100% better, because Pastor Tim will be back preaching. So just promise me you'll come back another week, especially for the car show. So we're going to look at John 21 today. And like I said, if you don't have a Bible and you're not usually here, no worries. It's going to be on the screen in case you're a visual person and you need to see the scriptures. But let me give you a little background to John 21. So at this point in scripture, the disciples, so Jesus's closest friends, these 11 to 12 people, had been following him around. Okay, they're literally walking the earth with Jesus. Lucky them, huh? Right? We believe in that which we have not seen. They were like literally walking with Jesus, and he died, and then he didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. He was dead for 3 days, came back to life, and then he started appearing to his disciples in different moments. Okay, so that's the background of what has happened. Jesus has already kind of commissioned his disciples to say, take my message and tell the world. So he's already done that. They've been with him. He's given them their mission. He's already appeared to them. And then we come to John 21, and we find the disciples, I don't know if you have headings in your Bible. Mine always says breakfast at the sea, which where I live is like really amazing. We don't have water. I know you all, we had lunch at the ocean, right? This is like so cool for me. You could eat breakfast by water. I got nothing. I have like my bathtub. Okay, so that's my water if I want breakfast. So anyway, the disciples are sitting breakfast at the sea, and it says Jesus showed himself. But listen, they're sitting around having breakfast, and in verse 3, here's what it says. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Let that sink in a second. They've been with Jesus. He's commissioned them. He even said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Basically, you don't have to fish anymore. I'm changing your plan for your life, and now you're going to commission. Now I'm commissioning you, I'm giving you a mission to fish for men, instead to be fishers of men, to go out and spread my message around, this gospel message around. And Peter, Jesus has died and resurrected, and he says, I'm going fishing. And then the disciples jump in and say, no, Peter, you are crazy. Knock it off, right? We have a mission. We're not supposed to be fishermen anymore. Is that what it says? No. The rest of the disciples go, we'll come too, right? Okay, we'll go too. They all said, isn't that interesting? All. Not one single disciple said, hey, guys, weren't we supposed to be doing something else? Like, didn't Jesus tell us something else to do? So all this has happened, and what they did is went back to what was comfortable, back to what they knew, back to what they thought was working for them. And it's interesting that all the disciples went as well. So they go out fishing, and then read what happens. So they went out in the boat, and they caught nothing. How long? All night. I love all these, like, really, really strong words. Nothing. All night long, they catch nothing. Isn't that interesting? They're like, we'll just go fishing. We'll just go back to doing what we've always done. And we caught nothing. But then Jesus shows up in verse 4. It says, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who it was. He called out. Now he's just like taunting them, right? He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. And then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Isn't it interesting that they go back to doing what's comfortable, what's okay, what feels good to them, and Jesus comes along and says, cast your nets in another location. See, I've heard this story before, but when I actually saw that image of the Jesus film for kids, I realized it was a location change that made the difference in this miraculous catch. And what's so fascinating to me is that if you think about it, Jesus easily could have made the fish swim into the net, right? There's actually a lot of stories in the Bible about fish and Jesus doing incredible things with fish. He multiplied them. We have Jonah and the whale. Like, he can cause a whale to eat a human and survive. I mean, these are real things that happened. Jesus clearly had control over the fish. And he didn't say, fish, swim to the other side and hop in the nets. The other thing is, how many of you have seen those YouTube videos of, like, flying fish? Yeah. Have you ever seen those? Yeah. They're hilarious, right? Someone's just going along and the fish smacks them in the head and the person falls out the boat, right? Okay, so he invented flying fish, people. He could have made the fish jump in the boat. I mean, have you ever thought about that? He could have made the fish swim around or just like hop in the boat and overwhelm the disciples with his power and with all of that, with his creativeness, all of that. Just have the fish jump in. But instead, he used the same boat, the same net, the same people, but a different location because of Jesus. You catch that? The same boat, the same net, the same people, but it was a different location where Jesus caused a miraculous catch to happen. And I believe that sometimes our location actually influences what happens. You see, when Jesus said in Mark 16, all over scripture, go into all the world and preach the gospel, I actually think he meant it. Right? Right? People go, I have to pray about that. And I'm like, no, you don't. It's like right there. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I think he actually meant that. Now, there's a lot in this story, I love it, as I've studied it, about humbly submitting to Christ. But what is so fascinating to me is this location piece that has really come alive to me, that that's what brought a miraculous catch. You know, I mentioned earlier that Jesus had called his disciples. In Mark 1, you can read it. He says, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And what did they do? They left their nets, they abandoned their nets, and they followed him. But it's interesting here to me that they've gone back to fishing, and it's just not working anymore. See, what they knew, what was comfortable to them, what didn't feel awkward, what wasn't hard. I mean, sometimes it could just be hard to do something different. And so they went back to doing what they'd always known, but they weren't getting the same outcome as before. Do you understand that? So these are probably decent fishermen because it was a big deal that they left their nets and they thought we can just go back and do at least the same. But see, the Lord doesn't call us to do the same. Like status quo isn't really in the Bible. Like just do the same, right? He says go into all the world. And so he's continually asking them to follow him. Even in this moment, is an invitation to follow me. Just cast your net on the other side of the boat. And I wonder if this seemed so basic to them, right? If you think about it, they're like, this is ridiculous. Why would the other side of the boat work? Now, I'm not a fisherman. Is anyone in here a fisherman? Any fishermen? Yeah. Okay. My father-in-law is as well, and every time I spend like more than 10 minutes with him, I realize I know nothing about fishing. I don't, right? Like, it's so complex. You think you just drop the line in, and a fish jumps on, and that's the end of it. I can't tell you. He has boats. He has fish finders. Every Christmas, we buy him some other way to find a fish. So I am amazed that, that it's like this difficult. But it is. But I just wonder if they thought, boy, that's basic. That seems like silly. It's counterintuitive. Why would that side work better? But Jesus said the other side, and what happened? A miraculous catch, right? You see, church, I think for all of us, the call is the same. I know it is. The call is to follow him, right? To leave our nets and to follow him. He says the same thing to all of us. You've just finished this series on evangelism, right? How many weeks? 5 weeks. You guys, were you here for all of those? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. If not, there's a podcast. That's how I knew, so you could also listen to them. You've had these 5 weeks of how to share the gospel, a simple plan for sharing the gospel, and let me just tell you, our tendency is to go back to doing what we've always done. Right? We just go backwards. That's natural for us to say, yeah, but this is not really comfortable. Right? Yeah, but I feel a little awkward around that type of person. Or yeah, I don't really know how to do this. I don't have the right words. I may not know exactly what to say. There's this tendency in all of us that Jesus says, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. We have a simple plan for how to share the gospel. And we tend to, like the disciples, go, I think I'll just go back to fishing, right? How often we're guilty of the same thing, guilty of doing what we've always done, even if it's good. I have a perfect example of this. Excuse me. So I'm admitting a lot of mistakes here. So can you guys be gracious to me? Okay, good. So a couple years ago, we were leading a team from Indiana to Tanzania. So I've been going to Africa for a long time. I actually started as a nurse while I was in nursing school. I spent a month in Kenya in a hospital studying. And so it just developed this heart in me. And so we started leading teams. And so I'm not kidding. It's like a Thursday afternoon. My daughter was 3 at the time. So I'm pushing her around in a stroller in our neighborhood. And I'm praying the whole time. Right, she's like playing in her stroller. But I'm praying for my team. I'm praying for what God's going to do while we're there. One of the big things we were doing was door-to-door just evangelism in a village. We're talking huts, no electricity, no water, dirt floors. I mean, what you would envision when you see pictures of Africa, right? Very, very rural Maasai village, door-to-door evangelism. Not really super dangerous, but just a little maybe uncomfortable. And we had challenged our team to choose a verse, one verse, ask the Holy Spirit to give you a verse, and memorize it in Swahili, right? So that way that you were prepared when the Holy Spirit prompted you with a verse. And we got to see this. So I'm praying for my verse. I'm rehearsing my verse that I had memorized in Swahili. And it actually worked. We've seen some amazing things. One time this girl had chosen kind of what I thought was a random verse about anxiety and hope of the gospel, and memorized it and delivered it very well. And the first house we went to, there was a teenager there who was struggling with anxiety and feeling a little hopeless. And so she said the verse in Swahili. She spoke no other Swahili. That's it. I understood what he was saying. And I said, your verse. And she said it. And the kids started weeping. The girl started weeping. It was like this cool move of the Spirit, like a word of knowledge, because he got to hear it in his mother tongue. Right? So I'm praying through all of this as I'm walking around my neighborhood. This was a Thursday. We were leaving on Sunday, taking 10 people to Africa. So I'm, got this big plan for evangelism. I'm going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And the Lord spoke to me in my neighborhood and said, why are you going door to door in Africa when you don't know your neighbors' names? Who? My response was, I know their dogs' names. Does that count? And the Lord was like, no, doesn't count. The dog's names don't count. And so I suddenly felt so convicted. See, even my trip to Africa was what I was comfortable with, what I've always done. And the Lord said, no, cast your nets next door. So I turned my stroller around. I went home. I printed up flyers. I didn't even tell my husband. I printed up flyers inviting all our neighborhood to come for coffee and desserts the next day. So this is a Friday night. Well, I'm leading a team to Africa on Sunday. My husband literally thought I was crazy. No, he knows I'm crazy, so he shouldn't be that surprised. So we had this amazing night of fellowship. And so we lived in a parsonage, like some churches, older Foursquare churches, own homes for pastors to live in. So we had neighbors come who said, we've known a lot of nice pastors living here, but no one's ever invited us in. Just the weight of that, I realized it doesn't matter what I say. Just the fact that I dropped off an invitation at their home and invited them personally into mine moved mountains. The other interesting thing, do you have any parents in the room? Anybody got littles? My daughter was 3 at the time. She still talks about it to this day. 2 years later, she talks about our neighbors because this became a regular thing. We started doing it once a month. I don't know why we didn't do it at other people's houses, but it just kept being my house on our back deck, coffee and desserts. And then at Christmas, people would start bringing Christmas gifts. I mean, it just became this really cool community thing. And people who live next door to our church, I mean, this is like just next to the church property, had never been to the church, had never been invited to the church, and began to sort of meander into special services and events that we had in our parking lot. See, even my Africa trip that sounds so glorious and so cool, and I'm going door to door, and you think, wow, she gets an A+ on going into all the world. The Lord spoke to me and said, you need to know more than their dog's name. You need to know their name. And you need to know their story. And so I got to know their stories and begin to pray and get involved in their life and shovel their snow. I mean, these are like real neighborly things we do in Indiana. And it was amazing that just casting my net next door changed a lot of things. My 3-year-old thinks this is normal. She does. And what's so cool is now I've set this example for her that that's just what you do. It's just the way we live. And so I pray she'll never have that struggle where she's like traveling the globe preaching about Jesus but gets super convicted because she doesn't know her neighbor's names. She loves it. We moved to another neighborhood, and the neighbor said, can we come to your new house? I was like, sure, it's kind of weird. You could go to your house, right? But they said, can we come to your new house? So sure enough, right after we came, we just invited them all over for like a housewarming party at our new house. I mean, it's just amazing that you think, wow, these stories from Africa are really great. But see, I didn't know their names. And God was calling me to cast my net in a different location. Even though I was like going to Tanzania and taking a team, and we were doing this in a lot of areas. You see, the location change for me was just next door and just in my neighborhood. A simple location change. And God said, cast your nets next door. And so my question for us today is, where will you cast your nets? You see, the call is, cast your nets on the other side. Where's the location change for you? Where's the new place to get to know people? The new place to go, or maybe it's a lunchtime group at your workplace to discuss faith. Maybe some of you are students and or college age folks, and maybe it's at lunch that you sit with someone else. I mean, that's tough. Maybe before it's a group prayer time before your sports team starts, to be bold and just say, hey, can I pray for us? May open things in people's hearts and minds. Maybe it's a school nearby. That's the location to go to. Maybe it's getting to know your neighbors like it was for me. Maybe it's even just, not even your feet, but driving a different way to work so that you can pray for a neighborhood. See, what I have learned is that when we change location, our heart usually changes as well. And it doesn't switch, it expands. Do you track with me? It's like adoption. People go, how could you love kids like your own? And you're like, well, I didn't. It's not like it's already sectioned out and I had to, you know, take one kid out and put one kid in. God has expanded our hearts that we love more. And so when we move our feet to a new location, this miraculous catch happens because our hearts have been expanded for the people that we're ministering to. See, Jesus asked something of the disciples. He absolutely could send all those kids from the elementary school right here next Sunday. Absolutely. 100%, and maybe he will. That would be awesome. Or maybe he would send you there instead. Or he may send your neighbors to knock on your door. Say, hello, I was wondering if you could tell me about Jesus. He might do that. I doubt it. Or, like the thing you all did yesterday, he may send you to them. Right? The location change of going to them. Maybe something basic. Let me just encourage you, it may be something that seems counterintuitive for us too. That you go, this will never work. Or that's so basic. What effect could that have? But it did for the disciples, and I believe that it will for you too. That you would ask the Lord, where would you have me to cast my nets? And even a basic thing that he would reveal would cause a miraculous catch for the kingdom. Now, maybe there's someone here today that didn't know this great message that we have to share. And I want you to know, if that's you, the call is still the same as it was to the disciples. When Jesus said, come follow me, he still asks that of us today. He invites us into this relationship, into his love that forgives, that cares, that covers, and that lasts eternally. And he invites us into this relationship with him. So if you're here today and you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, I want to ask if you'd consider that today. That today would be the day that you would say, I'll follow him. I'm in. I accept his love for me, and I will follow. I'll surrender. I'll say yes to Jesus today. And for the rest of us, I want to do something kind of weird, maybe. Would you look at your feet? Just like slide them out in front of you. Because we're talking about location change, which may not be exact location. You know, that's maybe a metaphor for some of you and what God would ask you to do. But for a lot of us, I literally think it means our feet go somewhere else. Scripture says in Isaiah 51, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who proclaim salvation. How beautiful are those feet. And so would you look at your feet today and say, God, where should my feet go to proclaim peace, peace. I mean, in a world that's hurting and broken, God, where should I place my feet to proclaim peace, to proclaim salvation? That you would open up my eyes to say, where can I cast my nets? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the way that it's alive, that it speaks to us. Lord, I thank you that you have a heart for the world, for the lost. And I pray for anyone in the room today who has not made a decision to follow you, that today would be the day. In fact, if that's you, you can stand up, you can cheer, you can wave your hand at me, anything, if you're ready to say, I want to follow Jesus today. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for the times when we've had a tendency to go back to what was comfortable. When we've had a tendency to retreat, when you've called us to advance. I pray that we would not be like the disciples and just go back to business as usual, Lord, but that we would take your encouragement and your mandate, that we would cast our nets into another location. Lord, we believe your word. We believe that you will be faithful, that as we are obedient, that we are obedient to you, Lord, that we will see a miraculous catch, that people would come to know you, that they would love you deeply, they would experience your love, and they would be followers of Christ for the rest of their lives. Lord, we believe that you're going to use our feet to go, to show your love, to proclaim peace, to proclaim salvation, to minister to a hurting and dying world. Lord, show us where you'd have us to cast our nets.
That miraculous catch didn't come until there was obedience attached to Jesus' direction. It's as they followed his word that they experienced the miracle. Mm-hmm. Is God calling you to another step of obedience? Maybe that obedience was just being brave enough to walk into this door this morning. And God is waiting to give you that miracle. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. But for others, it may be something different. There may be something that God has been speaking to you about laying aside in your life that doesn't belong there anymore. And he's just waiting for your obedience. Dennis Jordan, one of the leaders at our church, has a great phrase. He says, you never know what's waiting on the other side of obedience.
That's good.
Right?
That's
you
good.
Never know what is waiting on the other side of obedience. In this story, it was a miraculous catch. It was this symbol, really, of God's activity in their world, in their story, in their lives. But I don't know what it is for you, because you probably don't need a pile of fish this morning, right? But you need a miracle.
That's good.
You need a miracle. So God, we... not only do we invite your miracle presence, but Lord, we ourselves take this moment to say, God, I am willing to be obedient. I am willing to be obedient to your direction. Lord, whatever it is that you would tell me to do, God, I am positioning my heart to say yes to your word, to your direction. And for some, that may be that small thing, like going to a neighbor's home or getting something out of my life that doesn't belong there anymore. For others, it could be a big thing. For others, it could be saying, God, I think you have been calling me to a different part of the world. That God, that there has been a particular place in my heart that I believe that you've been preparing me for and directing me to, but I've continually said no. Maybe it's to join in the next time that we as a church bring a team down to southern Mexico. And you've kind of been resistant. I don't know if Mexico is safe. You know what? It's safe when God says go.
Amen.
Because he goes with you. Mm-hmm. And where he goes, it is safe. I don't know what it is for you. I'm still pondering what it is for myself. But would you pray with me? And God, we just want to position our hearts to say yes to you. as those guys in the boat did when they just were willing to change direction at your word, Lord, they experienced the miraculous. And so, Lord, we position our hearts to say yes to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, would you give us that boldness? Would you give us that willingness to continue to say yes to you? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, we are grateful people. Lord, that not only can we hear you speak, but Lord, we can obey and see your miraculous provision in our lives. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, as we get ready to wrap up, I'm going to invite our prayer team just to come up and just be right here. Maybe some of the obedience that would be needed on your part would just be that willingness to say, I'm going to go up and tell someone what I'm facing. This is what I'm going through this very week that I need to see God show up in. And if that's you, I'm going to ask for you to come and just say, here's my place of need. And receive prayer, receive a moment of just ministry. Because I believe that your miracle may be right here as you would open your mouth and declare, this is what I'm facing.